RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headline. Presidential Working Unit on the Implementation of the State Ideology of Pancasila to encourage people to strengthen Pancasila value. Investment Coordinating Board to digitalize service. And now the news in detail. The Presidential Working Unit on the Implementation of the State Ideology of Pancasila, UKP-PIP, would promote the people's role in regaining Pancasila in the nation's life, the chairman of the working unit, Yudi Latif, after the inauguration in Presidential Palace on Wednesday, said that Pancasila education in schools should be strengthened by involving people. According to him, it is fit with the spirit of cooperation in Pancasila that stated the entire elements of the nation have responsibility to strengthen Pancasila value in the society.
Jalan terbaik adalah melibatkan peran serta komunitas.
The best way in involving people to regain the spirit of Pancasila by working hand in hand. So in the future, the state only facilitate and it actually must be moved with volunteers from every community. I name it community shaper. So religious leaders, artists, directors, journalists, traditional leaders will be gathered in one connectivity to have responsibility in carrying Pancasila, because Bung Karno said Pancasila comes from community. Therefore, if the state have problems, it has to ask help to the community. Furthermore, Yudi Latif also encourages the Indonesian businessmen to strengthen Pancasila among the people. According to him, business sector which was not involved in the effort to strengthen Pancasila will become a bridge among the people so it can reduce the number of social gap. The Presidential Working Unit on the Implementation of the State Ideology of Pancasila, UKP-PIP, the working unit has a task to help President in compiling policy, direction of Pancasila, ideology, and synchronize the coordination and control Pancasila ideology program entirely and continuously. To increase permit quality service, one-stop integrated services of the Investment Coordinating Board will digitalize its permit service. At the first stage, the Investment Coordinating Board will implement new mechanism by using certified digital signature on the investment principal permit, publishing with the portable document format that will be completed with legal document. The service innovation will be implemented on July 3, 2017. The investment principal permit, or IPPM, include IPPM for cooperation or new investment, IPPM for expanding businesses, IPPM for chains and company collaboration. The head of Investment Coordinating Board, Thomas Lembong, said that this breakthrough will give easy access for the investors. According to the press release received by Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, 7 June, Thomas said that the change of publishing mechanism of IPPM will be socialized to the businessman, notary, consultant office, law firm and other related parties. Meanwhile, the deputy of investment service sector, Lestari Indah, explained that IPPM validity done by the applicant by accessing menu e-service on Investment Coordinating Board website. Lestari also said that this policy has been prepared from technical or legality aspect. She added that permit service digitalized process hopefully can give positive contribution to achieve this year target. The Indonesian government is predicting that the recent severing of ties between several Arab countries and Qatar would deal a blow to the archipelago's tourism industry, with 50,000 expected tourists not showing up because of the crisis, a senior official said on Tuesday. That is the number of visitors, Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said. Qatar Airways, for the most part, would have brought to Indonesia this year, Arif told reporters at the State Palace on Tuesday, said that given that 7 months are left in the year 2017, they estimate Indonesia will lose about 50,000 foreign tourists as a result of the boycott of Qatar. In order to reduce the expected loss, Arif said his ministry would coordinate with the Transportation Ministry to transfer the license given to the Qatari airline to other airlines such as Emirates and Etihad. Qatar Airways said on its official website it had suspended all flights to Saudi Arabia. The 14th ASEAN Media Summit 2017, which was held in Qingdao, Shandong Province, China, from June 6 to 8, was officially opened by Chinese Vice Prime Minister Liu Yongdang on Tuesday. The summit, participated by 400 delegates of 43 countries, began with several remarks, among others, by the Director of Asia Pacific Institute for Broadcasting Development, AIBD, Chang Jin. Shandong Province Governor, UNESCO Director and Representative for China, the Democratic Republic of Korea, Japan, Mongolia, and the Republic of Korea, Dr. Mariesta Oliveira. In her written opening remark, which was read by Dr. Mariesta Oliveira, the UN Deputy Secretary General Amina J. Muhammad said that the presence of Madam Liu Yongdang in the event proved the importance of the summit for China, especially in the region generally. This showed the strong partnership between the Chinese government and UNESCO in developing shared values and goals in implementing the 2030 agenda, the sustainable development. Amina J. Muhammad, in her written remark, also said all parties are responsible to achieve the 2030 agenda.
While governments have the primary responsibility for implementing the 2030 agenda, the active participation of the private sector, civil society, and concerned citizens will be vital to achieving this transitional agenda.
After the opening, the Asia Media Summit 2017, which was theme media on the front line of global development, was continued with several plenary sessions. The first session was on how media can shape the development agenda. The second plenary session had the theme Media's Role in Boosting the Education Agenda. The first day session was closed with a moderated debate on media responsibility and development issues, activism or neutrality. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Helmi Fauzi inaugurated two coffee processing factories by using raw material from Indonesia. It was stated by Trade Attaché of Indonesian Embassy to Egypt, Burman Rahman to RRI on Tuesday. According to Burman, the ambassador inaugurated a factory located in Alexandria on May 29, 2017, and a factory located in Giza on June 3, 2017. The inauguration was done due to the increasing of Egyptians' demand toward Indonesian coffee.
Berdasarkan permintaan kopi di Mesir saat ini.
Based on the demand for coffee in Egypt recently, the factories are able to process 800 to 1,000 containers of coffee per year. And at the end of 2017, Egypt will import at least $40 million of Indonesian coffee. According to Burman Rahman, it is the biggest number of Indonesia-Egypt trading on coffee. Furthermore, he said Egypt chose Indonesian coffee because Indonesian coffee is lighter, robusta coffee to be mixed with Arabica coffee. Besides, Indonesia coffee has good quality with competitive price. The coffee is taken from some areas in Indonesia, such as Sumatra, Java, Flores, and Sulawesi. Burman explained Indonesian coffee export value to Egypt increasing 5.31% on February 2017 compared to the same period in 2016. The Transportation Ministry said it has not revoked the license of Qatar Airways. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said that the ministry will only arrange Indonesia Umroh passengers to switch airlines from Qatar Airways. Budi Karya said that the switch has been done following the severance of diplomatic ties between Qatar and Arabic countries. As a consequence, Qatar Air is banned from flying above the countries. As for flights from and to Indonesia, the airline can still carry passengers as normal. Budi Karya said Qatar Airways can still serve flights from and to Indonesia and continue the travel to third countries aside from those having diplomatic issues with Qatar. And the last item, the government has allocated 90 billion rupiah for free aid travel program. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said the budget is higher compared to last year of 20 billion rupiah. State-owned enterprises SOE Ministry Special Staffer Devi Suraji said that more than 112,000 people have signed up for e-travel program held by the ministry. The number is way above that of last year of 94,000 people. Free e-travel program is coordinated by the state-owned enterprise ministry and 25 state-owned enterprises. They have compared 1,810 buses, 22 trains, 18 ships, and 24 airplanes. Considering people's high enthusiasm, state-owned insurance company Jasara Harja, state-owned enterprise Budi Setiarso said it will add the quota to 200,000 people. The transportation ministry is aiming to carry 200,000 participants this year. Sea transport services get the highest budget allocation, amounting to 32 billion rupiah. 30 billion rupiah has been allocated to run 976 buses and trucks that will carry motorcycle. The rest will be allocated to fund railway services. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Presidential Working Unit on the Implementation of the State Ideology of Pancasila to encourage people to strengthen Pancasila value. Investment Coordinating Board to digitalize service. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Qatar in Trouble. Tensions in the Middle East are not declining but are increasingly widespread. If previously only in Syria and Iraq, now the atmosphere in the Middle East is getting hotter with diplomatic tension between Qatar and its neighbors in the Arabian Peninsula. Why has Qatar suddenly become the center of attention? Its neighboring countries such as Saudi Arabia, Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates cut off diplomatic ties with Qatar, accusing it funding the acts of ISIS terrorists in several countries. Not only the three countries, four other Islamic countries, namely Egypt, Libya, Yemen, and Maldives, have also severed ties with Qatar. In addition to the aforementioned reason, the neighbor seems not to like Qatar's relation with Iran, which supports the Shiite movement in Saudi Arabia and Bahrain. Egypt, one of the countries that also broke diplomatic relations with Qatar, suspected the country has become a channel of funds for the Muslim Brotherhood movement in Egypt. In addition to severing diplomatic relations, the four countries also banned all flights heading to or coming from Qatar. Saudi Arabia, which shares a land border with Qatar, has closed it and banned Qatar media Al Jazeera to operate in the country. The United Arab Emirates has ordered the Qatari diplomats to leave the country, and on the contrary, Qatar orders its citizens who are in the United Arab Emirates to leave the country within 14 days. It is a question of many why, in just 2 weeks after the American Islamic Summit organized by Saudi Arabia in Riyadh, May 21, 2017, there is division among Islamic countries. This is a new problem among Muslim countries. The alleged flow of funds from Qatar to some groups considered terrorists needs to be investigated. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, as the leader of the biggest Muslim country, reminded the world during the Riyadh summit on four important things. First, the need for unity of Muslims to improve Islamic ukhuwah, or brotherhood, as the key to face terrorism. Second, to increase terrorism eradication cooperation and the suspensions of funding for terrorist groups. The third is the need to carry out economic strengthening for vulnerable groups affected by terrorist movements. And the fourth, all Islamic countries should be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Considering what happened to Qatar with the suspicions of funding terrorism, the Indonesian thinking in the forum, namely the suspensions of funding to terrorist groups, is quite plausible. Another thought of increasing unity among Muslims is also worth noting. Should not Qatar and other countries work together to combat terrorism rather than quarrel against each other? So what President Joko Widodo said, that every country in the world, including Islamic countries, should be part of the solution, not part of the problem, can be achieved. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Dinugraha. Thank you for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History and outstanding events happening today in the past. We will begin our first event with the incident of the National Commission on Human Rights inaugurated in Indonesia. The National Commission on Human Rights is an independent institution in Indonesia whose position is equal to other state institutions with the function of conducting study, protections, research, counseling, monitoring, investigation, and mediation on human rights issues. The commission was established on June 7, 1993, based on Presidential Decree No. 15/1993 on the National Commission on Human Rights. The National Commission on Human Rights consists of plenary sessions and subcommissions. In addition, it has also General Secretariat as an element of service. We're moving on to June 7, 1999, where Indonesia's carried out peaceful democratic election. General elections were held at the same time to elect members of the People's Legislative Assembly and members of the Provincial House of Representatives, as well as the Regional People's Representative Council of the Regency of Indonesia throughout the period of 1999-2004. The general election was the first to be held after the fall of the new order and was last attended by the province of East Timor. The then general elections were participated by 48 political parties and were proportionally based on the percentage of national votes. From the 462 contested seats, the Democracy Indonesia Perjuangan Party won the most seats with 153 seats from two other major parties, the Golongan Karya Party 120 seats and the Persatuan Pembangunan Party PPP 158 seats. The 1999 general election event for the world was an important event. Even beyond the expectation of the people of the world, democratic election could actually take place peacefully. We end today's edition of Today in History with the signing of the Charter of the Formation of Guam, the Association of Georgia, Ukraine, Azerbaijan, and Moldova. Guam is an organization for democracy and economic development of four former Soviet countries, namely Georgia, Ukraine, Azerbaijan, and Moldova. The Guam Charter was signed at a meeting in Yalta on June 6 to June 7, 2001 by four members and Uzbekistan, who then left. According to the President of Ukraine, Viktor Yushchenko, this charter establishes the purpose of cooperation, such as democratic value, ensuring stable development, fostering international and regional security, and assisting European integration. Listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus for Green, entitled Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Launch Book of Indonesia Sea Wealth. To introduce the beauty and natural wealth under the Indonesian Sea, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, along with United Nations Development Program, UNDP, launched a photography book entitled The Magnificent Seven, Indonesia's Marine National Parks in Jakarta last Friday. The launching of the book was attended by Tourism Minister Arif Yahya, Chairman of Commission 4, House of Representatives Edi Prabowo, and Vice Chairman of Commission 4 of the DPR Titik Soeharto, and some ambassador of friendly countries. In her speech, Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya said that this book is a work of art to promote the beauty, uniqueness, and richness of biodiversity on seven marine national parks in Indonesia. The seven national parks are the Kepulauan Seribu National Park in Jakarta, Karimun Jawa National Park in Central Java, Bunaken National Park in North Sulawesi, Kepulauan Togean National Park in Central Sulawesi, Wakatobi National Park in Southeast Sulawesi, Takabonerate National Park in South Sulawesi, and Teluk Cendrawasih National Park in Papua and West Papua. Minister Siti Nurbaya further said, Indonesia is the world's largest archipelagic country with 17,520 islands, and the second longest coastline owner after Canada, which is stretching 81,000 kilometers. Indonesia is also a rich country in coral reefs with an estimated area of 8.5 million hectares. The coral reefs are places to live and breed various species of reef fish, crustaceans, mollusks, mammals, and reptiles, which blend into each other to form the type of underwater ecosystem, which is very unique and beautiful. The minister added that to maintain the sustainability, the government of Indonesia has now set 17 million hectares of nature reserves and conservation areas in marine and water areas as protected water areas. This area is managed by a zoning system and synergizes and collaborates with stakeholders to realize sustainable management of natural resources. Indonesia has conserved 17 million hectares of water area and 4 million of them are marine national park area. Meanwhile, Director of the United Nations Development Programme for Indonesia, Christophe Puhed, said that the book was made for 6 months and consists of 7 national parks with images of Indonesian underwater photographs. This biodiversity needs to be protected for the benefit of society and tourism development. The United Nations Development Programme's commitment to protecting marine ecosystem is an important part of the United Nations Development Programme of Indonesia. Closing her speech, the Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, expressed her appreciation to the United Nations Development Programme Agency, which has supported the preparation of the book. She hopes this photo book can attract many tourists to come and love more the nation's assets and world heritage. That was Focus Voice Green. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
The Presidential Working Unit on the Implementation of the State Ideology of Pancasila, UKP-PIP, would promote the people's role in regaining Pancasila in the nation's life. To increase permit quality service, one-stop integrated services of the Investment Coordinating Board will digitalize its permit service. The Indonesian government is predicting that the recent severing of ties between several Arab countries and Qatar would deal a blow to the archipelago's tourism industry, with 50,000 expected tourists not showing up because of the crisis, a senior official said on Tuesday. The 14th Asian Media Summit 2017, which was held in Qingdao, Shandong Province, China, from June 6 to 8, was officially opened by Chinese Vice Prime Minister Liu Yandong on Tuesday. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Helmi Fauzi inaugurated 2 coffee processing factories by using raw material from Indonesia. It was stated by Trade Attaché of Indonesian Embassy to Egypt Burman Rahman to RRI on Tuesday. The Transportation Ministry said it has not revoked the license of Qatar Airways. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said that the ministry will only arrange Indonesia Umrah passengers to switch airlines from Qatar Airways. And the last item, the government has allocated 90 billion rupiah for free aid travel program, Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said. The budget is higher compared to last year of 20 billion rupiah. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining
VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite? 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Wediombo Beach in Yogyakarta. Stay tuned. Listener, Yogyakarta has many beautiful beaches to be enjoyed by tourists because the area is directly adjacent to the Indian Ocean in the south. One of the beaches is Wediombo Beach. This beach is located in Jepitu Village, Giri Subo District, Gunung Kidul Regency, and it is about 80 kilometers from downtown Yogyakarta. Visitors can access this beach with any transportation about 2 hours travel time. To reach the beach, visitors must walk down the stairs. Listener, in Javanese, the word wadi means sand, whereas ombo means broad. So Wediombo has a broad sand meaning. However, this beach does not actually have a vast expanse of sand as the name suggests. This form of beach is like a wide bay. This beach is located between two coral hills and a unique shape in the east and west. Wediombo Beach has beautiful scenery, starting from the seawater that is still blue until the white sands that is still preserved. Around this beach there are also many shady trees and they are often used as shelters. Listener, many activities can be done on this beach, such as by playing with the soft sand beach, enjoying the beauty of the sunset, and fishing. Fishing on this beach can be a unique and extreme experience because visitors should be fishing at the height of the cliff. Fishing on the cliff is not an easy thing because it is located far from the beach. Reaching the hills of this reefs, visitors must also go through a very difficult road. They must follow the beach to the east through the steep and slippery coral at the edge of the beach, then up to the top of the cliff facing directly to the sea. This difficult journey will pay off with the fish that will be obtained. The catch can also be enjoyed because there are some citizens who offer the services of cooking fish. Listener, being directly adjacent to the Indian Ocean makes Wediombo Beach having big waves. Therefore, this beach is perfect for surfing. In fact, this beach was once used for surfing competitions. To enter this beach, visitors need to pay 5,000 rupiah per person. The facilities at Wediombo Beach are quite adequate, such as parking, bathroom with clean water, and food stalls with a very cheap price. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition about Wediombo Beach from Yogyakarta. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you later.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which introduces the vocabulary and phrase in Indonesian language along with its usage on the conversation. Today we feature a topic entitled Pelabuhan Kapal, which in English means ship harbor. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Rencana kita. Rencana kita. In English, our plan. Pelabuhan kapal. Pelabuhan kapal. In English, ship harbor. Besok. Besok. In English, tomorrow. Menuju Jakarta. Menuju Jakarta. In English, to Jakarta. Jika ingin. Jika ingin. In English, if you want. Berapa. Berapa. In English, how much. Lama. Lama. In English, long. Waktu. Waktu, in English, time. Diperlukan. Diperlukan, in English, take. Menyeberangi. Menyeberangi, in English, crossed. Perairan Selat Sunda. Perairan Selat Sunda, in English, Sunda Strait. Sekitar. Sekitar, in English, about. 3 jam. 3 jam, in English, 3 hours. Lebih cepat, in English, faster. Kapal cepat, in English, speedboat. Hanya, hanya, in English, only. Memerlukan waktu, in English, take time. 2 jam. 2 jam, in English, 2 hours. Menggunakan, menggunakan, in English, use. Kapal laut cepat, in English, speedboat. Kita berangkat, in English, we leave. Sampai jumpa besok, in English, see you tomorrow. Well, now the vocabulary and phrase will be delivered in the form of a conversation between Danu A and Randy B. I will say every sentence 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Randy, bagaimana rencana kita besok menuju Jakarta? Randy, bagaimana rencana kita besok menuju Jakarta? In English, Randy, how is our plan tomorrow to go to Jakarta? B. Ya, besok kita berangkat pagi jam 8. Ya, besok kita berangkat pagi jam 8. In English? Yes, tomorrow we will leave at 8 a.m. P. Kita harus ke pelabuhan Bakauheni jika ingin ke Jakarta.
kita harus ke Pelabuhan Bakauheni jika ingin ke Jakarta. In English, we have to go to Bakauheni Port if we want to go to Jakarta. A. Berapa lama waktu yang diperlukan untuk menyeberangi perairan Selat Sunda ini? Berapa lama waktu yang diperlukan untuk menyeberangi perairan Selat Sunda ini? In English, how long will it take to cross the Sunda Strait waters? B. Sekitar 3 jam. Sekitar 3 jam. In English, about 3 hours. A. Adakah yang lebih cepat lagi? Adakah yang lebih cepat lagi? In English, is there a faster vehicle? B. Dengan kapal laut cepat, kita hanya memerlukan waktu 2 jam. Dengan kapal laut cepat, kita hanya memerlukan waktu 2 jam. In English, by a speedboat, we only take 2 hours. A. Baiklah, kalau begitu kita menggunakan kapal laut cepat. Baiklah, kalau begitu kita menggunakan kapal laut cepat. In English, alright, then we use speedboat. B. Ya, besok pagi kita berangkat. Ya, besok pagi kita berangkat. In English, yes, we will leave tomorrow morning. A. Sampai jumpa besok. Sampai jumpa besok. In English, okay, see you tomorrow. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia that gives you about harbor. Hopefully, it can be useful for you, and we'll meet again next week with another interesting topic. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Hey, Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi, Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semar. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Dee, in Music Corner. Today, we'll present religious songs from a band called Ungu. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Andai Ku Tahu by Ungu. Happy listening.
Andai ku tahu kapan tiba ajalku, ku akan memohon Tuhan tolong panjangkan umurku. Andai ku tahu kapan tiba masaku, ku akan memohon Tuhan jangan kau ambil nyawaku. Aku takut akan semua dosa-dosaku. Aku takut dosa yang terus membayangiku.
Listeners, the song tells about a person who begs forgiveness of his Lord for the sins he has committed. The song Andai Ku Tahu is the first religious song album which became hits from the band. This song entitled Surgamu was released in 2006. Listener, Ungu Band has been present in Indonesian pop music world since 1995. But in September 2006, they just released religious genre album in order to welcome the holy month of Ramadan, 1427 Hijriah. Although different from the genre of music they usually bring, the Surgamu album selling in the market was just 10 days since it was released. In fact, Vice President Yusuf Kalla gave the inspiring award for the album. Since then, the Ungu Band regularly released religious albums every year until 2009. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next songs entitled Sesungguhnya. Happy listening. Listener, that was the song Sesungguhnya by Ungu. The lyric of the song we have just listened to invite the listener to do self-reflection. Ungu invites his listener to realize that without sincerity in doing good deeds, there is no reward or even paradise that we can get. Ungu regularly released religious album from 2006 to 2009. After that, Ungu has mysterious to make religious album. In 2013, Ungu finally released a religious album entitled Ruang Hati, which contains 13 songs, consisting of 11 old songs and 2 new songs. One of the songs entitled Bila Tiba was the original soundtrack of a religious and historical film, Sang Kiai. Welcoming Ramadan in 2014, Ungu did not specifically make religious albums, but released a song entitled Segala Puji Syukur. The song is included in the pop album entitled Mosaic, which was released in 2015. Afterwards, Ungu was again absent from the world of religious music of Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bila Tiba dan Segala Puji Syukur by Ungu Band. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Perempuan itu ibaratnya pakaian buat laki-laki, menghangatkan di musim hujan, meneduhkan saat kemarau.
Saat tiba nafas di ujung hela, mata tinggi tak sanggup bicara, mulut terkunci tanpa suara. Saat berganti dunia, alam yang sangat jauh berbeda, siapkah kita menjawab semua pertanyaan? Akhir berhenti sudah, jantung hati pun tak berdaya, hanya menangis tanpa suara.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.